Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills radio network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi there. Are the Bills back? 40-9 over Carolina today. It was
I love that missed extra point. Rob, 40-9 just objectively sounds more hilarious than 40-10.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
Only thing that would have been better than 9-11.
Would that have been Scorigami then?
Maybe, but you go for two down 40-9 to sort of like, you know, just run something and then you make it, and maybe the train horn plays or whatever they have in Carolina, and
the fans are all excited. I believe you've come to the right source to answer such a question. What they have instead of a train horn is a panther growl, Mike.
Oh.
This is my area.
How about this idea? Instead of a panther growl, two panther growls, because this didn't really work that well.
No, the one wasn't very intimidating.
They also have the third down thing, which, you know, I mean, it's the Carolina Panthers. You know how successful this is. I mean, that's if ever there were a franchise that would scream third down at their fans, it would be this one. Of course, we do that. So the Bills go to 5-2. New England is going to win to go to 6-2. For what it's worth, the Dolphins and maybe Jets are also going to win.
Yeah, the Jets are, I think, just turned the Bengals over on downs and are going to be able to kneel it out here. They're up by one.
If it's Scorigami you want, 39-38 is also not Scorigami.
Okay. And 40-9 isn't, I assume?
40-9 is not.
Yeah.
But what a day.
What a day. Poor Andy Dalton. I mean, they abused Andy Dalton today. You know, I felt like, you know, we talked about it for 2 weeks. I mean, we've been stewing in a two-game losing streak, and I don't think today answers definitively the biggest question we have about the Bills, which I think still is, what is their passing offense actually capable of if and when they really need it? But on a day where James Cook could just pretty much do whatever he wanted in the run game, they didn't really need it. I mean, they got a big play to Shakir for a touchdown, but they still look kind of lost in the passing game. But, I mean, it didn't matter. They just were the better team by a lot in
this
game.
Well, I have to say, when you win a game 20-10 or 20-9 or 40-9, I think you're really not learning anything meaningful either way. It's the same. I'm not great today about this team. I'm really not. Like they relieved the pressure from the last 2 weeks of, you know, when does Sean McDermott get fired or whatever else we've been wasting our time with the last 2 weeks. I mean, not to blame ourselves, but I don't know. I feel like this is still we have most of the same questions. Yeah. Is there something I need to know?
Josh.
All right. Start. Josh Allen is talking.
Obviously, AJ Epenesa with the pick right before half, getting another six. Nice little double dip there. James is playing outstanding right now. Our O-line's giving him a lot of holes, but he's just making some unbelievable cuts and outrunning people, and it's doing what James Cook does. Got to be better myself in that first half. I just felt like I wasn't getting myself into a rhythm. I wasn't trusting my feet. I was forcing a couple things. A couple things just didn't go our way. So I got to be better in that aspect, but again, found a way to – I think we were pretty good on third downs today. Move the sticks, and I think still there's a lot to clean up, which is the exciting thing.
Josh, where would you guys be? I mean, obviously you'd be doing well. James has really carried your offense really for a little bit of time now. Just talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the efficiency that he's had, too, how many rushes did he have today?
19.
I mean, he's playing outstanding. I think the more times we get the ball in his hands, the better that we're going to be. Same thing with 10, with Khalil. Just, again, getting the ball in his hands and letting him make some plays for us. I'd love handing it off and getting to throw my hands up from 50 yards out, you know?
What did you reference some of the struggles in the passing game there in the first half? Obviously, the score is the score, and it's lopsided in the second, so the stats kind of get skewed. But what is your concern level with moving the ball through the air there, particularly in the first two quarters?
Not concerned at all. I think if I can go back and change a couple things, trust my feet, get through my progressions, wouldn't even be talking about this. I think it's an easy cleanup. And again, it's just trusting the guys out there, trusting my feet, and putting the ball where it needs to be.
What do you mean when you say don't trust your feet? Can you maybe put that in layman's terms for somebody who's never?
Yeah, I mean, understanding the concept. If it's a three-step or a five-step, just trusting it, and again, just being a little more settled. Early on, you know, just again, first game back since the bye, just not trusting my feet a little bit and getting off things a little too quickly, and just getting back in the swing of things.
What causes that?
Again, a little hype, you know, getting back on the football field, a little eagerness to go make a play. Just letting the game come to me and again, just trusting what's out there.
Why has this team been so good coming off the bye?
I think it's the way that our guys have handled it. I think, obviously, from the top, just making sure that we're practicing the right way. Obviously, coming off two losses, you know, it's been lingering with us. So I wanted to come out here and put our best foot forward, and I think tonight we did that.
Josh, do you feel like coming off a two-game losing streak, any win is going to be a good win? Does it feel like this was kind of a get-right day for you guys as a team as a whole?
I mean, the way that we won, for sure. I think, again, the exciting part is that there is a lot to clean up and a lot to improve on and really to be excited about where this team can go.
Yeah, the defense's performance today, I mean, it kind of made it easy for you in some ways. You started to drive at the one-yard line. Just their overall effort, what did you think of it?
It was unbelievable. They felt like they had something to prove going out there and forcing some turnovers, giving us a couple short fields. One, we didn't capitalize on it, but that one on the one-yard line, obviously, A.J. Epenesa makes a great play, and, that's the standard that we have for ourselves, and that's what we expect every time we step on the field.
Success. Talk about, you know, again, the defense, the way you ran the ball, and you, no doubt, is an elite passer, right? But how does games like this turn into an elite game?
I mean, when you got James Cook, just let him cook.
The success you guys had running the ball early, did you just notice the difference that it made in terms of keeping them off balance and opening things up for especially that first drive of the second half, the way Shakir was able to get open underneath?
Yeah, anytime you can run the ball that well, I mean, it's going to do things for your offense. Quick game, play action game, nakeds, and then we get that second half is how we feel like we should play. You know, the first half running the ball well, but wasn't to my standard in terms of how we want to attack it through the air. And again, a lot to learn on and improve on.
Josh, a little personal accolade, becoming the first NFL quarterback, 46 games with a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, Cam Newton's record, who is obviously pretty big around here. What does that feel like?
It's cool. just finding a way to win. That's all we're trying to do.
Josh, can you talk about, you know, your big play with Khalil Shakur? What did you see coverage-wise and, you know, made you make that play?
Yeah, they brought some pressure into a five-man protection. We were sliding the other way, so typically in football, you want to throw it into the blitz because it's more room there. And then you see the great effort from 10, but if you go back and watch that play, Elijah Moore, he was coming from the other side, making a really key block, allowing Khalil to spring free. And that's the effort that, again, it's not going to get talked about in the box score, but, you know, 18, Elijah Moore makes that play there. And I got to be better for 18. I missed him on a deep out earlier in the game. But for him to not care about that, to put his head down, go make an extra block for a guy, speaks a lot of the character that he has. Thank you, guys.
Josh Allen and the Bills roll over the much inferior Carolina Panthers, 40-9. We will have Sean McDermott coming up. That will be brought to you by, or presented even by, Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. The Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks equipment rental, building America from the ground up. So, Bulldog, how was Allen today by the numbers?
Allen, by the numbers, 12 of 19 passing, 163 yards and one touchdown. He carried the ball three times. Two of those were short touchdowns, a total of 7 yards and those two scores. James Cook is the story of this game for the Bills on offense. 19 carries, 216 yards and two scores, including that 64-yarder early in the ball game. Khalil Shakir leads the way. Receiving-wise, 6 for 88 and a score. That was a 54-yarder. Keon Coleman, 3 for 30 on the day. Defensively, Bill, that's the other piece of this. You mentioned, like, you know, how much did we really find out? I feel like the defense, Hoyt was extremely disruptive in this ball game. Gets a sack and a half, a forced fumble. The Bills total 7 sacks on the day. And I thought Hoyt was really a difference maker for them up front.
Well, that's what we were hoping for after an uneven first 6 games defensively. Would the guys, not the new guys exactly, but the guys who had were coming off suspension make a meaningful difference? And he really did. Otherwise, I mean, I think the defense in this game, well, he's a part of this, but was mostly about pressure. And they got to front run, which is really, well, this is most teams, but this is how the Bills really want it. Like, New England and Atlanta, especially Atlanta, got them down. And then the offense maybe feels pressure to get out of what it wants to do with Cook or whatever it is. But in this game, you had the takeaways right away. You had the Epinesa play, like a free touchdown. And so the game is, did you think, different? The game is over by halftime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and if not, they scored 37 points in the second and third quarter combined. 16 and 21.
That's almost as good as Denver did against the Giants.
Right, only a field goal in the first quarter. All the scoring was in those middle two quarters. They did, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I don't have, like, snap counts this soon. At least I don't know where to go find that this quickly after a game has ended. But you saw Hairston right away in this game.
Yep.
And it was noticeable as well. A couple of plays from him, one hit, knocked the guy right out of the game. And Hancock was on the field some too. So I think the Bills at least got the opportunity to get some guys, hopefully, that they're, I think, going to have to be counting on in that secondary, get their feet wet a little bit in their first-round pick, and then Hancock playing safety as well.
We will look for your calls throughout the afternoon, 716-803-0550. We'll also have Sean McDermott's post-game press conference, which will be presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We'll look at the standings as well. Once we come back, everything early is now done. Yes, all 4 AFC East teams were winners this afternoon, which, you know, 2 of them winning is not really that important to talk about, but one is New England going to 6-2. Pretty decisive looking win over Cleveland today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sean McDermott still to come. The Bills have the Chiefs late Sunday next week, 4:25 kick. The Chiefs this week play tomorrow night against Washington. We'll take a timeout. Sean McDermott still to come. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Hand off to Cook, through a hole, and darts it to the open, and he is G-O-N-E gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook, as the cook is in the kitchen. For the first time in three games.
That's a 64-yard, rushing touchdown by James Cook early in this ball game. Early enough, anyway. Second quarter put the Bills up 12-3 at the time. And that is our New Era signature play of the game, brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL.
12-3 was a little gross.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
But then it was
not that long. Yeah.
A blowout.
The Epinesa play happened and we're just sort of cruise control.
Yeah, I spent most of the second half trying to find a charger for my computer so I could know what to say. But we made it. 40-9 is the final. 716-803-0550 for your calls. Sean McDermott still to come. James Cook, 19 carries for 216 rushing yards and two scores. That will put him sixth in Bills history for most rushing yards in a game. I thought he could have broken records if they wanted it. Like they wanted it for touchdowns last year and at other times. I understand why they didn't want to have their whole thing revolve around breaking rushing records. But this was another one of those games, like a couple earlier in the season, where he was to the so-called second level without being touched.
Yeah, very often. Yeah, and there were a couple of other runs. He broke, obviously, the long touchdown, and his other touchdown was, medium length, I'd say. And there were other plays where, he ended up with 8 or 11 yards on the carry, but was like a shoestring away from the open field. So, yeah, that was there for them. Did obviously not need to throw him the ball in this game.
Did they ever do it?
Handing it to him was all you really needed to do.
Uh-oh. Yeah, right. So, 216 on the ground, sixth all time. O.J. Simpson had better than that four times. Cookie Gilchrist once in 1963. That's it. And he was done by when? The end of the third. He was done. So I wonder these other ones, if those guys were done by the end of the third because the Bills were so far ahead. You know, a part of me wanted to see him keep going because it was coming so easily. Like, I know that I can't know this, but it felt like the only way he was going to get hurt is if he sort of stepped on something.
Well, I was curious to see, you know, now they did bring in almost, you know, an extensive backup offensive line. I think Spencer Brown might have been the only starter that was left out there by the time it was Ray Davis time.
And he moved to left tackle.
Yeah, right. And actually, they moved him back and forth. And Greg Olson, I thought, was very on point on the broadcast, suggesting that they're running away from whatever side Brown is on. He's the only starter left out there, just trying to keep him sort of out of the fray.
Hmm.
Like, we don't have a guy to put in for you. So, and it happened like three running plays in a row, and he had switched sides. He had been at left tackle, and he was back at right tackle. And wherever he was, is the ball went to the other side.
What a cool observation.
Yeah, I'd never heard. It's garbage time. Backup linemen are in the game. I don't know that I've ever heard that analyzed or even noticed, you know?
Yep.
I didn't know that Brown, if he wouldn't have said anything, I might not even notice that Brown was at left tackle. But he was, and then he was back over on the right side, and they ran left on those plays. So, again, it was only a couple. It might have just been coincidence, but I don't know. I liked Olson making the point.
Yeah, me too. It's the 12th 200-yard rushing game in Bills history, regular season or playoffs, by my count. Six were O.J. One, this is Cook's first. The others, Gilchrist, who I mentioned, Thurman Thomas did it once, also Fred Jackson, Terry Miller, and Greg Bell. Also, the Bills have still not lost off a bye week since 2014. I know where I was the last time they did, and I know where I went after. To the private opening, the soft opening of 716.
Oh, right.
It was that night.
Right.
The year before, they lost to Atlanta in Toronto off the bye. So it's been a while since the Bills have lost a game off the bye, and they were much the better team here today. Let's take a call. Sean McDermott still to come. Here's Matt with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about, we saw it a little bit today, and I've been thinking about it all week. The possibility of Elijah Moore playing a little bit more on the outside. I know we saw it a lot in Cleveland, and I just was wondering if you guys think that could be a solution.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. A solution to their passing woes. I don't know what has to happen there, because there was one crosser to Kincaid that was a really nice, like real tomato ketchup Eddie NFL-looking passing play. You got the big one to Shakir that was mostly run after catch. The rest of their drop-back passing game was largely Allen scrambling around hoping something happens, which is kind of pretty nerve-wracking. Again, you know, today was not a day where they needed it, and they scored their 40 points, Brandon Bean on line one. But I'm still as worried, if not more worried, about their ability to push the ball down the field and threaten teams with their receivers. I don't think it's there.
Yeah, this game takes some of the anxiety away about whether they're just like not better than the mediocrities of the league. But it's another one of these games. We've had lots of these, which is not, I don't mean this in a bad way, but there have been lots of games, maybe there have been 20 of these games the last 4 years, where they're so superior. And again, they're front running. Like, they get up on a team like Carolina. What is Carolina going to do about that? Hand off to Rico Dowdle 40 times? Like, there's just no move. They're down their quarterback, and there's no move when they're down, you know, 20 points against a team like the Bills. So I don't think that really tells you anything about the Bills except that they can blow out teams like Carolina, which, again, we weren't all sure that they were good enough to do before today.
Right.
So I think that that is, you know, to some extent, like, that's good. But the whole year is predicated on what they can do against the good teams. And you know what? You're going to have to wait exactly 7 days.
Right. Here comes one next
to find
week
out.
This time we'll be a few minutes into the first quarter of a showdown between the Chiefs and the Bills.
We have been running through this concept of again, like, this is really rooted in arrogance for how good the Bills have been. But this idea, like, could they win a game against a team that's maybe pretty bad by a little bit, and would you still feel good? And, you know, yes, no. Like, this was a game where I might have said no going into it, but it really doesn't matter. Like, the win is still the only thing that matters. And when you get up like this, really, of course they're going to run cook. Of course it's going to come easily. Of course that Andy Dalton's going to be sacked a lot. I mean, there's just, like, no point after that. So even when I want to say in my own defense, I have said this after their losses, it really doesn't have to mean anything toward how this is going to end. And I don't want to be obsessed with the end. I don't want to be like, today can't be fun because it's really only about January, but this is my job and maybe it's your hobby. So for me, it's like, all right, well, was this a game that told me anything about how they're going to do in the playoffs? No.
I would agree on offense. I don't know. I can't definitively answer the question that, you know, did today tell us anything about how they're going to be in the playoffs defensively? But I'm very encouraged by the playing time that young guys like Hancock and Hairston appeared to get. I noticed them both on the field numerous times. Maybe I just happened to see them every time they were out there, and they only played 10 snaps each. I don't know for sure. But I know they got playing time, and Hoyt's infusion into that pass rush was massive today. So it was the first game where you had a significant addition to the defense from the offseason available to you, and it showed up. And, you know, I want to be encouraged that's a positive sign. Maybe that can help me get – we'll find out next week, like we already said. They got the Chiefs coming up. And does Hoyt give them, along with the addition of Bosa and the guys in the interior, now without Ed Oliver I'm bracing for that to be a long time. Just how quickly he was ruled out tells you that was a pretty serious-looking injury, I think. But I think Hoyt does that give me juice to get to Mahomes? Does that give me a little bit more than I've had? I think based on today, I mean, there was more juice there than they've had. And even, you know, Rousseau made a play early, and maybe he doesn't have to be taxed as much, and they just have more variety now, bumping guys inside. I just think they have a nice piece to move around in Hoyt, and I'm excited about that.
Right on. Here's Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I couldn't agree more with the point. I think that after Brandon Bean's rant on WGR, he's going to have some humble pie and go after and get one of these guys that are reportedly, they're being shopped around to help Josh Allen in this offense. But at the same time, I don't think Allen has looked sharp throwing the football. When these great quarterbacks are pressured and blitzed, you do that to Burrow, you do that to Mahomes, they make you pay for it. That's why the importance of being able to rush four guys is so big with these premier quarterbacks. And just right now, I know we just put up 40 points, but he just does not seem confident throwing the football. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
That's the thing about this game is, like, so Bulldog, right? Like, what's the score where you might not be that impressed? Could 40-9 have been an answer?
No.
Hold that thought. Here's Sean McDermott.
Glory to God, first and foremost. Great to get a win. Really, really thought the players and staff did a phenomenal job starting on Monday. And, the process is the process, and the preparation piece had to be where it needed to be. And players did a phenomenal job. As I said, the coaches, the leadership group, phenomenal job getting out in front of our team and leading. And the preparation piece, as I said before, is why we got the results we got today. So
O-line and D-line, you know, the run game obviously offensively, and then trying to take away their run game defensively. It's where it starts up front. James Cook, another big day. Doesn't happen without wide receivers, tight ends blocking down the field. Want to make sure I mention that and praise that part of our effort. Different attitude, different energy, finishing plays. Really was more how in terms of how we do things. So and then the takeaways on defense were big. So good team effort, and the time is yours.
What's it like for you as a head coach with the run game to see your running back just biting the huge chunks of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I know the value of being a two-dimensional offense, and, you know, I love the run game. I don't think I've ever said that. I do value physical football, and it starts up front, whether you're throwing it or you're running it. So I will say that I love physical football. So that's where the game starts, and our front did a great job today.
Do you love James Cook?
Yes, 200 plus yards. But there was an attitude that came with that, right? So he breaks through into the second level of the defense. You got wide receivers, tight ends blocking, and he's of this mindset, he's going. And that's, again, that's a collective mindset.
Do you have an update on that?
And I thought Coach Kromer did a phenomenal job dialing up the runs that he did and putting it together. Great job.
An update on the
kind of longer? No, don't have anything at this point.
Sean, when did you make the decision that Max was going to be ready to play? And what, from what you've seen, what did you think of the way he performed?
Yeah, just through the week, it was just more of a, this would be ideal if we could get it there, but understanding again where he was coming from and the time that he missed, just like I said during the week. So just wanting to be patient, and it's hard when you want him out there, but we owe that to the person, to the player. And I thought he came in today and did some good things. A big hit on the sideline.
Sorry about that, Sean. Yeah. How much of a spark was Michael Boyd?
Yeah, good to have him. It really is. He's a tone setter for us. And, you know, he walked in, I think we talked Monday or so, and, I mean, he's just great. He's a leader in his own way, and even though he's only been here just now one game, in theory, and he understands how the game is played. So just a guy that we can add up front for us and gives us an edge.
Also the decision on Jordan Hancock to get him involved. It looked like mostly passing down, so you wanted him out there. Just can you take us through the strategy or philosophy of that at least?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably not anything specific other than getting him going. You know, he's a young player that's played nickel and safety both for us. So just getting him going a little bit and seeing what he can do. And thought he'd had a really good week. I mean, these young players are going to make some mistakes. But the way that they practice, the way that they prepare, that's part of them learning how you do things. And then the veteran players helping them as well is important for us.
You mentioned did you have a conversation with Michael on Monday you were alluding to?
I can't remember exactly, but.
Was it a conversation with him, or did he come in and maybe say something to the team?
No, we just talked. Yeah, I mean, Monday we had that kind of practice deal, and then I think I grabbed him off the field and just said, hey, here's some things I'm thinking about. And he was like, yeah, hey, I'm with you, whatever you want. Again, a player coming off of not having played similar to Max, but obviously a more veteran player, felt more confident that he'd be ready to go. But again, wanted to everything in moderation approach with Larry, with Michael, with Max. So I don't know the final rep counts on those in terms of how it turned out, but that was the goal.
You mentioned finishing plays. Is Greg forcing that fumble a good example?
Huge. Yeah. I mean, when Greg plays nasty football, man, he's really good, and then our defense goes up a level. So that was a big time play right before the half there, and obviously then the half, the field goal that was missed. So big time swing in momentum for sure, and then we get the ball after half. So that was huge.
So a lot of fans observed on the broadcast that it appeared like you were maybe calling the defense. Were you? And if so, what went into that decision?
Bobby and I have done it together We really have, and that'll continue. So it's Bobby's a great coach. We've done it together. We'll continue to do it together.
What have you guys been so good coming off the bye through the 9-0 view?
Luck. It's a luck. No. I mean, I don't – that's the – I don't know. I'd like to – if I knew that, I'd do that every game. But, yeah, it's Lord's will, I guess, you know.
What was your thinking regarding Terrell Bernard, dressing him but then not playing him?
Just kind of where we were and trying to get him freshened up. It wasn't at all. It was more medically where he was versus anything to do with him not performing it or anything like that. This was my decision only, and just felt like we needed to get him freshened up a little bit. And, you know, and then the linebacking room overall had some, can they play, can they not play? And it came down to the wire there on who was going to be kind of the four we dressed and then those that we didn't. And some of that was medically as well. So it kind of forced our hand a little bit too.
Could he have been ready like in an emergency? Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, if we, that was kind of the deal. If we had to get him in there. So we got some guys nursing some injuries.
Sean, the first half, obviously James is doing what he's doing, the 200 plus yards on the day. The passing game, though, especially in the first two quarters, was maybe a little slow to come around. Was there anything that you saw that was leading to that?
Looked like we were just a little bit out of rhythm a little bit, and you know, then I thought Josh really caught fire after that, and the value of a competitor at a high level to be able to do that is impressive, right? Josh is wired that way, and it was good to really see him come out after half and really get into a rhythm. All right, thank you.
Sean McDermott, a couple of possibly interesting things here after the Bills' 40-9 win. Did you call the plays? He didn't say no.
No, right. We do it together. We've been doing it together. I don't know. That sounds like news to me.
That needed a follow-up.
Yeah, I want to confirm that with Sal at some point, but I feel like that's new, unless we just haven't noticed him involved in the play calling this whole time, which I feel like we would have. I mean, that's why it came up. People were noticing during the broadcast that it seemed like that might be happening, so that's why he's asked about it. I feel like if that had been noticed prior to this, it would have come up.
Right. Did you have anything on whatever we were talking about before he started talking?
The caller was saying that Josh doesn't look comfortable, and I mostly wanted to address that because I agree. And I think, look, there are things that can make a quarterback, any quarterback, no matter how great he is, skittish or lacking for being comfortable. And, you know, pass rush is obviously one, but so is faith in guys. Like, is he seeing guys flashing open soon enough? And I think there comes a point where he might even be abandoning things that could be good, that could come open, because he's seen enough of it not happening that he's bailing on some stuff and not trusting it. I agree with any assessment that refers to him not looking comfortable. He does not look comfortable dropping back to pass to me.
Allen himself, a few different times after the game, talked about his feet and not feeling good on his feet, or whatever it was he kept, however
trust,
it was he
trusting
kept
his feet.
Putting
trusting
it.
His feet. Yeah.
Trusting his feet. I mean, I have a tough time trusting my feet, but I don't. They tried to get him to explain what that meant, and he really didn't.
Yeah.
If he even could. I don't even know if he could, but it's one way to say, like, that you're maybe just sort of not sharp, or it's not all right for you. And it's another thing about today that is, we've had this many times where it's a little bit, I don't know, not all the way there, because it just feels like a game that they might not have won at all against a team that was able to stand up to them, which is what Atlanta did. And here's Atlanta getting blown out at home by Miami. What do they think they're doing?
Right.
Miami wins in Atlanta. The Jets win in Cincinnati, by the way. New England, a pretty decisive winner at home against Cleveland. The AFC East goes 4-0 today. We will let's actually get Glenn in here before we take a break. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, guys. Just two things. I was at the game. Great game. But just two observations. One is Khalil Shakir is always open. And I know you guys, I've heard you guys talk about it, that he's really not an outside you know, threat. But I'm wondering if they don't move him to the outside because he is always open. Just watch. I was just watching him during the game. Had great spot on the 50-yard line, 30 rows up. And then the second thing is Hairston. That guy was so pumped to be out there. And every time he came off the field, he was standing next to the coach saying, put me back on. I mean, that guy was really, really jacked. And I feel like, you know, it's good news that he's in that great of shape, you know, kind of, and that kind of energy. So anyway, those two things.
I like that too. And I thought even that came across just on the limited exposure you get to anybody watching the game on television. I sense the same thing. And it's also pretty good that they got him on the field within 1 week of his being allowed to return to practice. You know, that's a three-week window.
I'm almost stunned that happened. Just because their history tells you they would slow play something like that, give the guy, I mean, here's a rookie who hasn't practiced since July, and he just got back, you know, on the practice field and opened that window. I'm stunned he played this week, but it's nothing but a good thing. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have 100% faith medically that he was fine to do it. It just starts his ramp up, you know, all the sooner. So he's, you know, next week won't be the first time he's on an NFL field when he's facing Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. So good for him.
Oof. That's next week.
Sure enough. Yep.
Buckle up. Bills 40, Panthers 9. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, 716-803-0550. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Back to pass. Quick hitter to Shakir. Spins away from the defender. He's up the sideline. 35-30. Down to the 20. Cuts it back. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Khalil Shakir. Old reliable. Goes 54 yards to the end zone.
There you go, a 54-yard touchdown pass from Josh Allen to Khalil Shakir. Our Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Derek just gave you Allen's stats, but quickly, 12 of 19, 163, that 54-yard touchdown to Khalil Shakir. Allen carried the ball three times for a total of 7 yards and two short touchdowns on the ground as well.
That's one thing about this game that doesn't surprise me at all, that Allen ran one in, let alone two. They were a little bit sideways offensively. This is how you get it back. And it's not the only thing. I mean, Cook had his day and it was the bigger story. But Allen going in, like, you know, this is where it's some symbol of get on my shoulders.
Yeah, I'm still here. We're still here. Yeah.
Right. Two rushing touchdowns for Allen. Is that 70 or 71 even for his career? I should check that. 216 on the ground for Cook is the sixth biggest Bills rushing day in team history. Shakir, that's his third touchdown of the year. That's one off his career high.
All right, well, that's tracking well.
Yes. You know, it's kind of more of the same, right? Like, he busted one. When that happens, he's somebody that, you know, you get that play from him. We've had that play from him a few times.
Him in the open field with the ball is really, really good. You know, I know it's it can be, anyway, frustrating seeing them throw the ball to him, like, at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. But when it goes for first downs, usually it's like, oh, okay, good job. You know, it's when it gets stuffed that you get, oh, come on, what is this passing game? But you can understand why they are motivated to get the ball in his hands with a chance to make people miss, because he makes a lot of people miss.
So Shakir on the day, 6 for 88 and a touchdown. Allen through the air, 12 completions, 163 yards, and the touchdown to Shakir. The Bills go to 5-2. With Kansas City next. The Patriots go to 6-2, beating Cleveland today. Pittsburgh leads the AFC North. They're at 4-2, and they have the Packers tonight. Indianapolis is at 6-1, and they've just gone up 10-0 on Tennessee on another Jonathan Taylor touchdown
exactly what
rush.
I was going to say, yeah. I've got Red Zone on, and I'm, you know, so I'm getting ready to do the sponsored Eye on the Quarterback read, whatever. So I got the screen shrunk, and I just see a Colt running, you know, that's got to be Jonathan Taylor.
It's got to be Jonathan Taylor.
Of course, that's Jonathan Taylor. Do they even have a backup running back on that team?
No. When you watch many teams, the Steelers, whoever is Arthur Smith, whoever he's coaching, you can sort of predict that it's the opposite. It's somebody you've never heard of that is running that touchdown in.
Right.
Right now with the Colts, it's Taylor. And there was a score also in the Buccaneers-Saints game, a short pick six for Tampa. Gives them the lead 7-0 in New Orleans. Let's go to Pete here. Hi, Pete.
Yeah, two things, guys. Thanks for taking my call. One, I pretty obsessively follow the Bills, which is not a good thing, but I can say with a fair degree of confidence, I've never heard McDermott say he's calling the defense together with Babich.
Right. Right.
And it's made a difference. I mean, whatever the change is, it worked. At least this week. I've never heard of that. And then the other thing is, you know, watching the game today, watching the passing offense, Nick Johnson.
Pete, we lost you. You're kind of talking speaking to the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Sorry about yes.
That. Oh, okay. Yeah, watching the passing game again today did not inspire confidence. And I think back to last year, I mean, I heard that they were going after Adams. And they ultimately got Cooper, and I can't help but think if they had Adams in that playoff stretch, I think they beat the Chiefs, and then who knows what happens against the Eagles. So, you know, I think they have a good team, a very, very good team. They need something at receiver, something else. That's
all
I got. Thanks, guys.
We've got, 9 days?
Right. A week from Tuesday, election day.
Did today – this is a good question to ponder, I think. Did today mean anything to what their calculus is at receiver with respect to the trade deadline? Did it mean anything?
I don't think it. If they were thinking they needed more juice there, I don't think today should change that just because they got 40 points. Like it's a little bit of a microcosm of the point that Bean wants to make in the spring when he was so upset about what he perceived as overzealous criticism of him and their team build at receiver, because they took the ball away like crazy today and they scored 40 points. And we saw what happened the 2 weeks prior when they didn't take it away and actually gave it away themselves more than one time. I think there were 5 giveaways in those 2 games. What happened? You know, your dominance sort of dries up. So, I think you still need more juice in the passing game. I wouldn't think that anyone who felt that way going into this game is going to be taken off of that point because they scored 40 points today.
Right. So funny. 40-9. I'm not sure today changed anything. Defensively, that's what you're saying today.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one game and one opponent and it's Andy Dalton. So, you know, we'll see. But that was a team you had every reason to be worried about them running the ball down your throat. And that really did not happen. And they got to Dalton early and often, pass rush-wise. So, you know, if that translates to better opponents, that could be really big. Hoyt was impactful. One game in, and he was just noticeable to me.
I got a tweet today. I thought you said you were more worried about this game because Dalton played and Bryce Young didn't. A, that's correct. B, I'm not sure I'm wrong. I doubt very much that this game was different, like meaningfully different, if Bryce Young had played, but I guess we'll never know.
I don't know if this needs to be said, and it might be kind of jerky, but did it stand out to anyone else how tiny Bryce Young looks standing there on the sidelines? Well, like, I know he didn't have equipment on, but he looks like the trainer's son or something. Like, he just does not look like an NFL quarterback standing there. He looks like a little kid.
That's kind of that hasn't been different before. But he didn't have his stuff on today.
Right.
40-9 Bills, 716-803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Takes the snap, 4-man rush, back to pass, but Hoyt collapsing the pocket again, and he's after him, and he's got him on a second effort for the sack. The Canadian Crusher drops him.
Bills 40, Panthers 9. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Welcome back to our post-game coverage. Getting connected with the fans is powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Before we go any further, let's give our network affiliates 10 seconds to identify themselves. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Tennessee is on the board at Indianapolis. Got to hope that Bulldog has Gunnar Helm on his bench. 10-7 is the score now after the
Helm. Did we? That's a name for future reference. They play on a Thursday coming up. That might be a depth tight end anytime touchdown choice.
Oh, you got to think so. But yeah. I think mostly gone are the days that teams like Tennessee inhabit Thursday night football.
Right, they put good teams on Thursday.
They put good teams there now. This week is Baltimore at Miami, which both won. I mean, not shockingly.
Right. And Miami's pretty shocking. Jackson was close this week, but I think maybe they expect him to play on Thursday.
I have no comment. I have no idea.
Okay.
He was supposed to play this week. He was supposed to be out until the bye. He didn't play. They won anyway. He's from South Florida. Maybe that matters in this. Maybe he's going to play this week. AFC North, Pittsburgh tonight. Cincinnati loses at home to the Jets. And Cleveland loses, so Baltimore makes up some ground here. 2-5. The Steelers at 4-2, and a home underdog tonight against Green Bay. The Ravens and Steelers have yet to meet. The Ravens and Bengals have yet to meet this year. There's a lot of golf left in the AFC North. Let's go to Daryl next. Hi, Daryl.
How are you, guys? Long-time listener. Always love listening to your show. I just wanted to give a huge shout-out to the defense today. I think we kind of needed a statement game to kind of, you know, show that we can play defense because it doesn't show it a lot lately. I love the fact that we were able to stop them on third down, and I hope that this is the formula going into the next couple weeks because we still have a couple tough games ahead of us, and obviously now with the Patriots keeping pace and having that game lead, we've got to get the W's.
Yeah, I mean, Bulldog has mentioned, and he might have more to say about Michael Hoyt in his Bills debut today. And I don't think Bulldog would say different. For me, the whole time, and I think this is kind of obvious how important Hairston is to this. Like, Trey White was getting beat, and then his backup was hurt, and the Bills were kind of lost there. And now they got their first-round pick on the field, and it really didn't, apparently, need that much of a ramp-up. So let's go. Wheels up on Max Hairston. Yep. I mean, that's a fine debut for him. And now he gets Kansas City. They get Kansas City, and that'll be really interesting. But at least he's on the field.
I appreciate a good performance, and it was really even a great performance. 7 sacks. They took the ball away 3 times. Shut down one of the most potent rushing tandems in the league going currently between Dowdle and Hubbard. So full marks. But a team that has been where the Bills have been and are still trying to go, well, really where they haven't gone, which is all the way to the Super Bowl and win it, do not make statements against the Carolina Panthers. You know, next week is an opportunity to make a statement. And, you know, I don't know. I'm encouraged, but that's a very different thing, dealing with Patrick Mahomes and everybody that they've got now at their disposal, fully healthy. That's a big, big test awaits to see. But I'm encouraged. I think Hoyt had a lot of juice, and I thought Hairston added something. I like that they got Hancock on the field. Just get some reps under his belt because I'm very uneasy about Poyer, especially in passing situations. And it sounds like from the tenor of the news conference after the game when McDermott was asked about that it seemed like maybe they were trying to get Hancock out there in obvious passing situations because of Poyer's limitations, I think.
Yes. Early in this game, Poyer had a holding penalty that I thought was just kind of didn't look great. He just took a guy down right at the line of scrimmage. Like, I'm not going to bother with covering you. I'm just going to tackle you.
He bit on a play-action fake, and the guy ran by him, and he just grabbed his collar and pulled him down.
Yeah, let's just get this over with. You know, five yards, I'll take it. Yikes. Mark is next. Hi, Mark. Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good win for the defense today. Good to see Hairston. I got to tell you, Hancock looks like a no-brainer as well. I think it's time to let the young guys roll. Separately, what I was really calling about, though, is this wide receiver situation is a disaster. It's got to be the worst wide receiver room of any contending team. It needs help bad. Bean's got to make a change. It has to happen. We can't keep going on like this. It's terrible. I feel bad for Josh. I feel bad for the fans. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
I've already said a few times today, I don't think, or at least one time today, I'll say it again right now, I don't think anyone who has felt that way will be deterred just because they scored 40 points today. I mean, the passing game still looked to me not up, just not in shape. They just do not have, they don't have it right now down the field. I don't think what might be presenting itself, Josh is not trusting it, or it just because he's, I just think he's having a tough time with guys not getting open regularly. I'm not saying they never get open, but I think it's just not, it's not consistent enough, and I think he has become a little bit skittish back there.
To say you feel bad for the fans is an interesting, maybe a little bit dramatic way to put it, but the one way where I could sort of relate to that is how so many, and this is, we're the home office, if I may say, so many fans have been complaining for so long, despite the Bills pretty much being the best offense in the NFL for like 4 years in a row, about their wide receiver talent or lack thereof. And so you might feel bad for the fans because they can't seem to get their message across. Like maybe that changes in, you know, a week or so, but otherwise I don't think I would feel bad for the fans. I might feel bad for Carolina fans first, myself.
That probably wasn't a ton of fun for them today.
Right? I mean, there's so many bad teams.
Your stadium gets taken over by the visiting team's fans, and you lose 40-9.
40-9.
Third. The barbecue was good.
Yeah, and probably it wasn't that great. Why did I say that? It's the third 40-9 game in NFL history, by the way.
All right.
Not the first. Michael Pittman is in the end zone for Indianapolis. They keep rolling. I'm sure the announcers of that game are talking about the answer that they just put down on Tennessee, because that's how we talk. Tennessee scored a touchdown. What did Indianapolis do? They answered. They might have scored anyway. 17-7 is the score there. Daniel Jones with a touchdown pass to Michael Pittman. 5 for 53 and 1 for him. Do I sound a little bit energized by that?
That sounds like it mattered to, a little bit more to you than the average.
Maybe. Group. I admit it. I confess. I have a lot of Pittman. Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great, Joe. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. And Bulldog, you just kind of mentioned it. Like, you know, it's a frustrating 40-9 win only because in the second half, I just see play action, like, all the time, and there's nothing downfield. I mean, just I know two high safeties, that's going to happen. I get it. But just to have nothing available within 7 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage is just very frustrating. And if it wasn't Andy Dalton out there, you know, I just worry about next week. It is in terms of how ugly that could get. You know, the defense stepped up. I'm happy about that. Look better. You lose Oliver maybe for the year. But just like, it just doesn't look right. And it's if you can be frustrated at 40-9, I called Mike a couple weeks ago in terms of how, you know, fans can be hyperbolic and whatnot. Well, I'm now officially that guy who's like looking at the TV screen going, this doesn't look right. And just getting frustrated at 40-9. And everyone looks at me like, Joe, you're crazy. He's like, no, I'm not. This doesn't look right at all. And seeing Josh run around looking uncoverable is just nerve-wracking. And we're going to regret that New England loss. We are. I guarantee it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
I guess I just – this is pretty much – we're one note here today on the phone. We're one note, which is like this was actually bad. Or at least not great or not impressive or something. I would just say, and there's a but to this that's obvious. I would just say this might be how post-game shows sounded last year in Kansas City. And they weren't winning 40-9. In fact, they went to Carolina and won by a field goal at the on the last play. Like, it might be the standard is way up here, and we watch games, and we're like, oh, guys, I guarantee, the caller says. He's calling in multiple times to promise that he knows that they're in trouble.
The New England game is going to haunt us.
I mean, maybe. Nobody knows that. And it just feels a little much to me today.
Mm-hmm.
This game was a joke. And I didn't think it would be a joke. If you thought it would be a joke, then I don't know. You have more right, I guess, to feel like you weren't that impressed. I thought they might have a problem today. They were getting run on. This point about the passing game that everybody's making was true.
And still is.
And maybe still is. And who knows what that would add up to against a Carolina team with a winning record. But what did it add up to? 40-9.
They blew him off the field.
Blew him off the field.
Yeah.
The obvious but, by the way, is, oh, Mike, did you not see the Super Bowl?
Because Kansas City lost by
30.
Yeah, right.
That would be the but.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did actually watch that. I don't watch all the Super Bowls, but I watched that one. I did see it. Kansas City went 15-2 with one of the two being a game they threw. And, you know, two more playoff wins. I think you can have a reality where we're all so up here on what it should look like. And when it doesn't, they could still win by 31 points and we're all just sort of like, eh.
Right.
I think that's where we're at today.
It's kind of hilarious. Yeah.
It's amazing. Really.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fan of another team is spitting at us listening to this. Collectively, us, all of us. Like, they're just spitting at us. Like, shut up. How could you be like this after 40-9? Ever, as a rule. Maybe. But I think that's kind of how, that's what I feel right now. Dallas driving. 14-3, Denver. Denver's relevant. I shouldn't just sort of blow past that. Denver right. is very yeah. much relevant in the AFC.
I could use Dallas just for my viewing pleasure, all of our viewing pleasure. I could use Dallas to make this a game before halftime. I mean, not that 14-3 isn't a game, but, like, you know, let's you know, get on the board here.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Come on, Dallas. Judy is next. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great, Judy. Thank you.
I think we had a terrific game today. Yes, the O-line can use some touching up, but defensively, I think we played pretty good. My only thought that I have, and I wanted to get your opinion, was about Josh. I think ever since he hurt his nose and he's wearing that shield, I think his game has been off, and he's all over the place. He's not playing like regular Josh.
Well, you've been listening to us talk about it. I haven't thought about whether it correlates to his, you know, his shield, but maybe you're right. But you're listening, so you know how we feel. We've been talking about it most of the show, which is, you know, caller after caller is something's off, and we're not arguing with them, right?
Right.
I don't know if it has anything to do with his face. Do you?
I don't. No. I mean, it is something that, you know, has coincided with. They lost two games and then won today, and the passing game still doesn't look great. But I don't know if it's related at all. No,
hard to know.
I think the bigger problem is him trusting guys. I mean, it just all has to happen so fast, right? And the trickle down when you are, like, he's talking about trusting his feet. That is, like, on time. Right? He even explained it a little. Three-step, trusting it. Five-step, trusting it. Like, boom, 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 ball. And if he isn't seeing guys flashing open or even not trusting that they're about to, when maybe they end up breaking open, I think we can all understand that, because they've been sort of stuck in the mud here. And that kind of – that lack of rhythm, that lack of trust he's talking about is how you miss Elijah Moore when the defender closest to him falls down. I mean, that is an easy – easy for me to say. But, I mean, that would have been 20 air yards, and that was an open guy, or at least close to 20 air yards. That was a downfield play, and I think Moore's open if that guy doesn't fall. But the guy falls and he's wide open because of it, and the pass was not even close. And I think those kind of miscues happen when you're just not trusting it and you don't feel quite right. So when people say he doesn't look quite right, like, that's a throw that I think he makes in his sleep if he's feeling just comfortable in the entire offense and guys, you know, being there and breaking open. But I think you get into, you know, you lose your fundamentals sometimes and can develop bad habits when you are skittish.
By the way, for Bulldog to say wide open, you know it's true. He's very particular about wide open.
I don't throw that around.
You have to be so open. Like, it's almost like there's no other team on the field.
Which, that's right.
I, which I think was pretty close to this particular example.
Yes, yes.
David is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to flip the script on this. I had a blast today, man. You know what? It's a week-to-week league, you know? I mean, some teams that you thought were going to win lost, and some teams you thought were going to struggle kicked butt, like the Bills just destroyed them today. Yeah, the first half was a little messy. Who cares? You know, listen, I am sorry. If you want to wonder what I'm worried about, okay, is our offensive coordinator up to par with all the ability he has with Josh Allen and James Cook and meshing them into a balanced attack? Because I feel like when he's got to go pass heavy, he really struggles with the play calling. And then, obviously, we may have a little lack of receivers here and there, but with the tight ends we have, I mean, how many receivers did Tom Brady have over the years when he had Gronk there as a fallback?
The Bills don't have Gronk, right?
No, we don't. But we have Knox Kincaid and Jackson Hawes.
And at best, one of them is a quarter of Gronk. At best.
Right, right. But all three of them on the field at once, you're telling me you can't find a mismatch somewhere? You know what I mean? Or even two of them? Come on.
Well, for how many – what does that play look like, though? Like, if I want to throw a passing play with my three tight ends, what's the best I'm going to do? Is it Kincaid for 14 yards? Is that the best I'm going to do? I want – the problem that people have with the Bills' offense is that there is no knockout punch. And no amount of passes to my tight ends are ever going to be one, right or wrong?
I think debatable. Kincaid can get downfield and get open 20, 30 yards downfield. You got to find a mismatch for the guy. And that comes with scheme, and that comes with coaching. So I don't care what anybody says. I feel Joe Brady needs to do a better job at what he has, which we have a lot of weapons, and we do have a lot of players that can make great plays. We have the league MVP. I think half the coordinators in the league will be drooling to have this guy. But I feel like he's not doing a good enough job. He's subpar at best. Bobby Babich on defensive coordinator, he's done a mediocre job on defense this year. Yes, there are a lot of injuries. I get it. But when we got everybody on the field, his scheme seemed to be a little lacking too.
Okay, well, I think it's the easiest possible thing to say. And subpar at best for a team that scores like crazy is tough for me. I mean, I think if you want to have your tight ends be, which they do, by the way, already, if you want your tight ends to be like the ethos of your offense, okay, but this is what it's going to look like. Like, Jackson Hawes is not going to open up, it's not going to satisfy your, maybe not you, your craving. Although you did want to complain about the coordinator, so maybe it would be yours. It's not going to satisfy what is ailing the fan base. Jackson Hawes is not the ticket to what's broken, if anything actually is broken, and neither is Knox, and I dare say neither is Kincaid. Do they have a player on the team that is this? No. You know why? Because they didn't want one. They want to be this offense. They want to be around their tight ends. They want to be James Cook. Today's a great example. They're not going to be upset on this ride home, are they? On the plane? Like, wasn't today a good day?
Yes.
It's funny that this caller was like, guys, I actually had a lot of fun, and A, B, C, D, E, here's the problem. Like, I don't know. He maybe didn't have that much fun. The tight ends, watch the Steelers tonight. This is the Steelers you're describing. And raise your hand if you want to be them. I don't know. I don't think that's a great recipe for a championship. It's fine. It's a little weird, the tight ends. They don't have a difference maker at receiver. They don't. They had one. They got rid of him. How has it gone? Pretty well. Today, their best guy had a good day. When he breaks one, he gives you what? 6 for 88 and 1? Mm-hmm. When he doesn't, he gives you 5 for 38 and 0. Like when he gets out, when he gets away, then you get what you get from Shakir today. But he never has a better game than this. Like, this is the best you get from Shakir. I mean, pretty much,
yeah.
Historically, that's been true.
I also had fun today. And I'm still having fun. Even now. This game was hilarious. I mean, they made Andy Dalton look ridiculous in this game.
Oh my gosh, the donkey fumble.
It was comical. The fumble that Hoyt caused that I'm not even sure he touched him. Like, it just that was a lot. They snapped a shotgun snap into the running back. Like, off the running back's arm or something. They were hilarious today.
The first fumble should never happen. Remember that one? Is that the one you mean? Where he fumbled, he's running downfield. Like, He has to wrap that thing up and go to the ground, or just, like, there's just no way that should ever.
No, I was referring to the one where he was in the pocket and, like, just lost his grip on the ball. And the Hoyt, I think, got credit for forcing the fumble, and I'm not sure he even touched Dalton on the play.
Right, yeah.
He just drove his guy right into him, and Dalton got so discombobulated, he lost control of the ball when he's back by his ear, and boy, what a mess.
I think maybe Dalton is sort of setting up to be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I don't know. I don't know if Dalton is funny. Is he? Do you know? Is he funny?
Is he
interesting?
I have no idea.
Kind of feels like he's sort of on that path, but with the beard, I guess is really what I mean. His stereotyping by his facial hair. 40-9, Dallas Bulldogs' wish was granted. Dallas in the end zone, 14-10. Denver leads. Javonte Williams revenge game. Javonte Williams 1 yard touchdown run in that one. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. More post-game discussion coming up. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
It's a screenplay to him. Blockers in front. Gets up the sideline. But he's met by Hairston, who drops him at the 29. There's some physical play from the rookie.
Welcome back. The Bills roll in Charlotte. 40-9. I mean, if has there ever been a more definitive blowout score, 40-9?
It's up there.
You said it. That 9 is so much.
At 9, yeah. If they get to 10, it's, you know, 40-9 is just, man.
I would argue similarly that 40-2 is better than 40-0.
Yeah.
The Bills lost a game a long time ago in New England, 31-2 or 28-2. This is like 1980 or something. Like, oh, that 2, it's just sort of like a pimple on the season recap. It's awful. Hate the 2 or the 9. Denver in the end zone. That was R.J. Harvey again, maybe? Does he have 2? R.J. Harvey.
Yeah, he had a long one earlier and then this one again. And so they also did what Indianapolis did. They answered.
Yeah, I mean, that's what good teams do, right?
Because Dallas scored, and now they went right back down, and Denver scored.
Boom. Greg is next. Hi, Greg.
Hi. I was thinking about why this game didn't feel that great. And I think it's because, like, for the defense, you knew since week one that you're going to have all these players come back at the bye week. So you kind of had this expectation that they would improve. But with the offense, you just don't see that same help coming, right? You know what the offense is. You've seen them struggle. And yes, their team can work well when they have a lead. But I mean, even in this game, there were 2 field goals and a lot of missed Andy Dalton passes. And he's, 15th season, not really, the best quarterback anymore. So can you expect the same thing when they play Kansas City, right? Can you expect them to actually use their wide receivers or their tight ends if they get behind? And I don't think there's anything that they've shown through the bye week that they're going to fix that. So yeah, this is great. They had the lead and thus they did what they always do, run the ball, which is a strength. But I didn't see anything in here that kind of can prove that their passing attack is going to get any better for the rest of the season without a trade.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to put it. Prove. I don't really need proof. This game could never have been a game where the Bills needed to prove that they could throw the ball down the field. Like, even if they doubled their passing yardage today, I'm not sure I would have even cared. Like, I don't expect proof when you're still in October. But I think what we've been kind of only in this lane the whole day is that a lot of fans just are not believers that when they need it, they'll get it. And next week will be very interesting. You know, this was a game where they could have played it really safe. They had that luxury today, either with personnel usage, Bernard, personnel usage or game plan. And these teams, the Bills and the Chiefs, are so, it's like twofold. They're so familiar with each other playing for high stakes, but it's still also the regular season. And every year they meet in the regular season and we all go, well, they're probably going to meet in the playoffs too. So do I need to do everything I can do this week? You've got the standings are, these teams have not separated from the conference. Very interesting week to say the least ahead.
Yeah, for sure. I think the conference race is the thing. Even with Indy, you know, looking good again today, you know, they're going to move to what? They're going to be 7-1 now. You want to try to keep pace. If they are going to stumble at some point, and I don't know, at some. There will be a week where we are out of weeks for them to stumble. I realize that hopefully you can keep it close enough, and right now you're still close enough, I think, for the standings to matter as much as anything here. And, you know, also you have an opportunity to try to keep Kansas City down a little bit here, which isn't nothing.
Chiefs a 12-point favorite tomorrow night at home to Washington. Let's size up the conference before we run out of time. Indianapolis, 6-1, up 10 to a pretty hapless Tennessee team, looking, as you said, towards 7-1. Denver, up 10 at home against Dallas. Dallas is not Tennessee, but Denver's in great shape there. If they win, 6-2. New England is 6-2 already. The Steelers lead the AFC North at 4-2. They host the Packers tonight and are a slight underdog at home. Bills at 5-2. Chargers at 5-3. Jacksonville on a bye at 4-3. Chiefs 4-3, play tomorrow. That's the AFC for you. How'd I do?
Pretty good. I believe all those numbers you read were correct.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you did a good job. You know what they can do? They can never take that away from you.
Well, I'll probably mess it up next time, but you never know. Neil is next. Hi, Neil.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. So, I know it's really, really hard to be cynical or negative on a 40-9 win, but
is it
great? It's a great win. The defense played great. James Cook showed he's worth every dollar we paid, but it's almost getting a frightening thought to think that if we can't run the football and teams are now going to force Josh Allen to beat us, and he can't because he doesn't have receivers to throw to. Now, when did we ever think as Buffalo Bills fans that a scenario like that would ever happen? But it's pretty clear. I mean, we run that 12, that 13 personnel. And look, it's great to be run dominant. It's great when you're a team that can run the football, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're going to go against the elite teams, you know, as you're talking about, the KCs, you got to be able to throw the ball and stretch the field. So I'm in a weird position of being thrilled at a great win with a great defense, but yet we win because of our run dominance. And teams, it almost seems like, are daring us to throw the football because they know that none of our receivers can get open. So it's like the short-term happiness is being negated by long-term worry, if that makes sense.
It's almost kind of incredible, I think, that a team that can run it as effectively as the Bills can't find their way to having a passing game that is really dangerous, too. Like right, in theory, the run game should help me get the passing game off, and it's still just not happening. Now, today they didn't have to really lean on it at all. You know, he threw 19 passes in total, so it's not a huge sample size today. I opened up today saying, and I guess I'll close up today saying, basically, this game will do nothing, I think, to slow people down from suggesting they need more at receiver.
Good point. We will find out even more in that direction tomorrow on our flagship station and local show, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, weekday afternoons on WGR in Buffalo, starting at 3. Next, the locker room. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Bills over the Panthers, 40-9. Getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to the locker room now. James Cook, I mean, big time, 216 rushing yards. Locker room audio brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
James, career day today. Only on 19 carries. Just care to talk about what your emotions like on having a big day.
First thing, I want to thank my O-line. You know, without them, I couldn't even run. So, you know, just thanking them guys just for just always having my back and, you know, just open up lanes for me to run.
Jay, did you get a sense early on that you guys were going to have this kind of day on offense by the ball? It seemed like the first few carries had a huge chance.
I mean, yeah, that's what we hopped on all week, you know, just starting fast and, you know, setting our identity as a football team. And I feel like we did that early and often.
James, it looked like there was a pointed effort to get you out on the edges of the defense. A lot of pitch plays today. Was that kind of part of the plan, get you out on the edge?
I mean, we had a lot of, you know, schemes in the plan today. That just what worked today, and, you know, we took advantage of it.
You mentioned identity, James. How would you just describe what this offensive identity wants to be this season?
Be whatever we want to be, you know. Just on us, you know, we just got to keep that edge and keep working hard, like I said, and, you know, go back to work on Monday, a big one, and get to work.
And James, you got a unique running style. What do you attribute that running style that you have?
I would say smooth, you know, just being patient and, you know, just standing and hitting it.
How many times do you think you got hit today?
I feel like I go again, so, you know, I don't feel like I got hit.
All right, so that being said, I mean, 19 carries. It felt like a game you could have had more than that. Is it frustrating that they keep taking you out for 2-3 plays at a time?
I mean, no. You know, because I trust the guys that's behind me. You know, we all work together, so, you know, just can't be selfish. You got to let those guys eat when my time comes. Just take advantage of it.
You guys as an offense, what did it mean for the defense to get the stops that it did? Especially not early on, you guys had to settle for a couple of field goals.
You know, like we said, they got the start, so you just got to take advantage of it and score touchdowns or points.
You had just the safety there on the 64-yarder. Were you thinking sideline all the way, or did you think about cutting it inside there on the last cut?
I was thinking touchdown.
What did Coach Brady see to call that counter? Because that was just a beautiful play call by Brady.
I just think it was the defense that they was in. You know, they blitzed the cone off the edge, and I guess the whole defense just wiped out in the green grass.
What do you think of performance when you have both sides like this, not only to get over the two-game losing streak, but going into the Chiefs game to give the Chiefs something to think about?
It could be real special, you know. It's on how we play, like I said. And, you know, like I said, we're going to get back to work on Monday, get back to the attention to the details and, you know, work hard.
Was the pace show
what you saw on film with these guys?
No, not no difference. You know, they showed every look that we had watched on film, and it shows today.
You could feel that you could cut back.
Yes, sir.
You could cut back and make a big play.
Of course.
All right.
Okay. Focus was it for this team? I mean, you know, you lose two, you had the bye week, you have to sit around and think about it. I mean, what was kind of the feeling in the locker room and coming out today?
I mean, we all be ourselves, you know. We've been here before. Coming off a bye week, it's just about how you turn it around and get better. Thanks. Appreciate it.
James Cook, a career day rushing-wise, 216-2 for the Bills running back. Bills in Kansas City next Sunday. Back to the locker room now with making his NFL debut, and it was a fun one, Max Hairston.
Okay, Max, I mean, how did it feel to get out there for the first time with your team?
It was so fun. Like, that got to be one of the funnest moments of my life, for real. Like, I had so much fun out there. Like, I just felt free. And then, you know, you on a team like the Bills, like, bro, like, they really helped me out throughout this week. Like, throughout this week, there was some times where I was kind of, like, you know, overthinking it. Like, okay, first NFL game, you know, first time to put stuff on tape. And they just kind of helped calm me down. They let me know that they got my back, and I let them know I got their back. So it made it a little easier to go out there and play with confidence, knowing that I got this team behind my back.
Max, when did you know for sure you were playing?
When I kept getting more and more practice reps, I was like, okay, I might get some juice.
What was it like to come back in a defensive performance like this overall?
It was fun. Like, that was one of my funnest moments. Like, bro, we was just out there playing free, out there playing together, and, like, just making plays. Like, you know, I'm a happy guy, so when I see my teammates happy, that just makes me even more happy.
How helpful is it to have the veterans like Trey, Jordan Poyer, Christian back there to help you through all this?
Like, I don't think they even know the impact that they have on me. Like, they really take me under their wing, like, really, like, let me know that they got my back, and, like, that just gives me, like, you know, it's just security knowing that I got teammates that genuinely love me and that care about me, and, you know, regardless of what happens, that they got my back.
You've mentioned free a few times. That mean no thought of the knee at all while you were playing?
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't think about the knee at all, not once today. But no, I was just, like, yeah, playing free, like, just having fun, like, executing my job, doing my 111, and just running around, finding the ball.
How did you feel about the way you played today?
I feel like I did good. Just doing my job. That, you know, that's first and foremost, but I feel like when the opportunity presented itself, that I made the most of it, and, you know, just want to keep getting better.
To get that tackle and wrap that up, and that's kind of like getting one of over those humps,
right? Man, I wanted to tackle so long, like, that just felt good to really, like, put pads on somebody else, and yeah, that woke me up for sure. Like, oh, like,
can you walk us through that play? I mean, what did you see? How'd you diagnose that?
Well, you know, it's three by, then I seen a motion 15. I know 15 is a gadget guy for them, so I knew that if he was coming over on the motion, that it was going to basically be them two coming down the block, and it was just me and him. And, you know, one-on-ones, I like me.
How do you feel physically at the end of the game? How do you feel physically?
Honestly, I feel good right now. Like, no problems with my knee. Like, my body feels good. Now, I might not say that tomorrow morning, but as of right now, like, I feel good.
Nice. You guys have Kansas City up next. How can you personally build on today to just keep building and move forward?
Honestly, just keeping, like, the same mindset I had to this game, just, you know, really dialing in on my job, and then just playing fast and playing confident. Like, that's all these guys are telling me throughout the whole week, man. And, like I said, they really just helped me make this first game, like, special.
How does it like to that corner go for you with Trey? I'm just, I don't know, does that make it hard to stay in a rhythm, or just, oh, okay, nice.
It's no problems with that. You know, honestly, seeing Trey out there and seeing CB out there, that gives me more juice. So, you know, I had no problem with that.
Maxwell Hairston in the Bills' role in Carolina, 40-9. Thanks for listening to us, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Next week, Kansas City, 4:25 kickoff. See you right here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.